On this winter afternoon, the bright window of the sweet shop crackled with colour. The red ribbons on a pyramid of chocolate boxes, trays of glazed fruit, marzipan wrapped in crisp green cellophane, and bins of humbugs that shone with an enamelling of sugar. And in the centre of the window was a Christmas tree with silver needles. It had been raining since morning, but the day had turned cold. The raindrops had frozen on the shop window, coating it with crystal pebbles that crazed the light and made it merrier. Two figures appeared at the corner of Church Road. Behind them, St. Mary's on the River was a dark steeple against the yellow light from the Chelsea flour mill on the far bank. In the middle of the river, a black lighter with the outlines of a barge was moored to a bobbing barrel. Tall and short, Wallace and Amy crossed the road and made their way towards the sweet shop. It bulged like a turret, this last shop in the high street.
Ooh, nearly home. I can just about read the sign.
I can read it. Mutterance and Co. All kinds of confectionery.
You know it off by heart.
But they were not the first to arrive. As they passed under the swinging pub sign of the Raven, a heavy man pushed at the door of the shop ahead of them.
Who's that?
Snyder, from the look of that scruffy coat. Wonder what that old monster man wants.
They reached the shop and watched through the window as Snyder, his face all red lumps and bristles, talked hard at Mrs. Mutterance. She was white-haired and small and entirely round, and she wore a warm coat and funny fingerless mittens.
Come on, it's too cold to wait out here till he's finished.
Angels.
Hello, Ma. No more school till January, Ma, and that's next year.
It feels like snow.
Oh, what do you know about snow? It hasn't snowed in London since just after the war. Not real snow. Not like we used to have. Up to the letter slots in the pillar boxes it was. Why, I've seen sleighs in the High Street.
It snowed last year?
Oh, that wasn't snow. That was coal dust from the glucose factory and a little sleet. 5 minutes later, it was raining.
It looked like snow.
Oh, you're so small. Everything looks like snow. Now, don't argue with me. I'm a lot older than you, and I know what's what. And I didn't come in here to talk about the weather.
I've never heard such a lot of old rope in my life. It's just gas and goose feathers. You think you was first here, but you wasn't. Sleighs in a high street. I remember farthings and chamber pots. You don't hear me boasting to innocent children.
The snow was up to my chest years ago.
Your tea's on the table upstairs, my angels. Fish paste sandwich.
Yeah, go on, go on. I've got business with this lady. Now get out, unless you want a thrashing.
This lady is my mum.
Oh, we knows all about that, don't we?
She's been my mum almost my whole life.
Mine too. Ma, why is Mr. Snyder smiling like that?
That's no smile. His shoes is too tight.
They don't seem to understand that we've got business.
Amy and Wallace are my angels. I don't keep secrets from them. Here. Have a mint lump and get on with it.
You might regret you gave me something after what I've got to tell you.
Go on, Squire. Take this mint lump and say your piece.
I'd rather have fudge.
We don't do fudge. Never have done. Mint lump or nothing.
Oh, well, right then. Well, as you know, Mrs. Mutterance, I own this entire premises. It's my right to do with it as I wish.
You're not going to sell the shop.
No, he wouldn't dare, Amy. Of course, I know he's a proper city gent with a piece of rope holding up his trousers and holes in his shoes for ventilation and moths eating round his woolly overcoat.
As it happens, I have been in consultation with a director of laundry franchises.
And his athletes.
I have plans for this here sweet shop.
It's my sweet shop.
Your sweets, my shop. And it's going to be a laundryette.
No!
A laundromatic.
You can't do that.
A washeteria.
Soap flakes. Amy, this is terrible.
A modern laundryette. Washing machines with windows on them, like 20 tellies with suds foaming on the screen. And over here, wringers and dryers all humming noisily away.
All machines! Instead of Ma's lovely sweet jars.
Who's talking to you, girl? I know jars is right.
I'm not working in no laundryette.
Well, no one's asking you to.
Well, neither am I. 40 years I've been managing this sweet shop, ever since I was tall enough to see over the counter, and I'm not going to stand here sucking a mint while you put in washing machines. I'll never turn my back on sweets.
There's very little you can do about it, Gertrude. This is my building, not yours. I owns it.
I'll have no part of it. You see how smart you run your laundryette. With no one behind the counter.
Oh, the beauty of a laundryette is there is no counter. You will not be required.
Oh, 40 years. 40 years ago I started.
Yeah, well, I was in the army then. I wouldn't know about that. I had the war to occupy me.
The buzz bombs fell here on Battersea. The air was thick with them sometimes. I was in the war too.
Well, if that's the case, why is it I collect an army pension and you don't?
This was a fact. Every Thursday, Snyder went over to Chelsea to collect his money. He walked the mile from the corner of Church Road across Battersea Bridge to the pension office. He said it kept him fit, but he was too mean to pay for the bus.
Just think, the whole shop will be white lino and shiny machines. And out front, the coat of arms, by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen, launderers and dry cleaners.
Codswallop.
Oh, yeah. Well, royal clothes need washing just as much as ours do.
Yours especially.
You, my lad, are going to come to a sticky end.
You're always saying that to me. Why?
Well, of course I does. And now I'll be on me way. But remember, Christmas is coming. Rent's due early. I'll expect it on Saturday. And take my advice and use the holiday period to find yourself some new premises.
I hope he falls in the river, don't you, Ma?
But Mrs. Mutterance was too stunned to reply. She'd never expected this eviction notice to be served on herself and her adopted children. They went upstairs, and she watched Wallace and Amy have their tea. She listened for the shop bell, but there were no customers in the icy gale. Mr. Snyder lived on the top floor of the building above them, and later Wallace and Amy heard him pacing in his room upstairs.
Do you think he's ill?
Nah, that's him singing because he's happy. Oh. He's evil.
I don't think he's evil. I think he's a bad man.
Same thing.
No, it isn't. Evil people never change. But bad ones sometimes do.
Do you think the old monster will change?
No.
Hey, don't cry. Ma's coming. We've got to keep spirits up for her sake.
I've locked up. No one else will come in this. You can hear the river hitting the embankment.
Ma, where will we go?
Oh, Ghoulistan. Or Netherwallop, or the Rinks of Merivale. Oh, ain't the old cruel?
Towards midnight, in his hammock in the hall, Wallace was woken by silence. He waited in the darkness. There'd be a plane soon. The sweet shop was on the flight path to London Airport. There was nothing. A train, then. Even a distant train was near in the dark of night. But there was no train. The only sound was the squeak of his hammock rope on its hook, and this caused Mrs. Mutterance to call from her room at the end of the hall.
Stop pendling, Wally.
Sorry, Ma.
Are you asleep, boy?
Yes, Ma. Sound asleep.
Well, stop your pendulations, then.
Doing my best.
Mrs. Mutterance had been woken by a bad dream. In this dream, she was sitting on packing cases and tea chests in the high street. The shop was shut, and she had nowhere to go. Wallace and Amy watched from the curb. Now, awake in the silence, she was trying to remember something else. Certain words from the past came to mind.
Trude. Gobstoppers. Slain on a tea tray.
Amy had heard the voices, Mrs. Mutterance's and Wally's. She lay curled like a kitten, and the big-eared Burmese kitten, Kipper, lay beside her with its nose between its paws. Kipper yawned and went back to sleep. Amy sniffed the silence and did the same, but she had a curious feeling about waking that night, for the night in her room had been as quiet as her empty dreams.
Time to get up, Kipper.
My bed socks is all ruckled.
Poor old Ma.
Wallace! Amy! It's gone 8!
Can't be! I ain't heard any buses yet.
I haven't heard anything. No buses, no planes, no boats on the river. Not even a dog in the street. Does that make you happy, Kipper? No dogs. Go on, then. Purr away. No, wait. Shush a minute, Cat. Did you hear that? Milk bottles, but no milk van. And no footsteps from the milkman. Let's see what's going on. Oh, Kipper! It's like a huge line of laundry. Like sheets on a rope.
Come on, Wally. Out of the hammock.
On my way, Ma. What's wrong?
There's something on my mind.
Snyder?
No, not him. Just now, I thought I was 10 years old. I was Trude.
Trude? Was it painful?
No. Short for Gertrude. What my father called me, Trude. He gave me gobstoppers from the shop.
I can see laundry everywhere.
Don't say that. It reminds me of Snyder's washeteria.
Sorry, Ma. But look out of the window. Look, Wally.
Cotton wool. Cotton wool everywhere.
It was snow. It clung thickly to the rooftops where it was nearly blue. It was mounded like white eyebrows above the windows of the houses, and it had blown against the brick walls and stuck, making beards hang from the sills. It was piled against the doors and made caps on the tops of lampposts. Each spike on the churchyard fence was encased in a fluffy sheath, and so far the only marks in the white street, what a beautiful street it seemed, were the milkman's footprints.
So that's what woke us up in the night.
Why is it so quiet, Ma?
The snow stopped the yip-yap. It's a kind of clogulation. It just come down and snuffled everything. Gosh, ain't it pretty?
The city's all smothered up.
But where's the river, Ma?
Ah, it's not on top anymore. My guess is it's underneath.
There's a house on top where the river should be.
That's the old lighter. It's stopped its bobbing about for a while.
The masts on the other boats look like frozen trees.
It's magic.
Yeah.
No, it ain't. It's about as normal as could be. Normal and thermal. But take a good look, because pretty soon it'll wartify and go down the drains.
Aww.
This is what London was like when I was a girl. I had me own tea tray for sliding.
I'm glad there's no school. We can go and get some tea trays and go sliding.
You'd better hurry then. The weather won't last. Did you ever see anything so white? Murderously pretty it is.
I wish Snide would go out and freeze to death.
Wallace, that's a bastable and harrowing thing to say.
I'd like to steal his mittens and take the paper out of his shoes and put more leaks in his hat.
Wallace!
Then they'd find him flat on his back, stiff as a fish finger.
You shouldn't say that.
Apologise.
Sorry, Mum.
Even if he's going to kick us out in the street, you shouldn't say that. You should feel sorry for his stupidity. He don't know any better.
Why, Ma?
Well, the trouble with Snyder is he carries his own world around with him, and he don't want us in it. Still, let's forget about him and have some breakfast. Shove the wireless on, Amy. Let's hear what they make of it.
Finally, here are the headlines again. London has had its worst snowfall for 50 years. Trains and buses are at a standstill, and all flights out of and into Heathrow have been postponed. Even the chimes of Big Ben are silent because its hammers are frozen. For the first time in recent memory, the River Thames has completely frozen over.
After breakfast, Mrs. Mutterance opened the shop. Duty, she said, but she sent the children out with tea trays to enjoy themselves. It was dark at 3:30 and as quiet as midnight, and not a soul had been in the shop all day by the time the children returned. That night there was a new fall of snow. The city was whitened further, but it was less cold than it had been. Once more the children went out to slide on their tea trays, but they knew there might not be snow for long. A thaw had begun. Where the winter sunlight had struck the river, the ice had darkened. There were cracks in it, like the veins in marble, and black holes near where the lighter was moored in midstream. Mrs. Mutterance was waiting for Wallace and Amy when they returned to the shop. On her face was an expression of puzzlement, hope, and fear.
Hiya!
He's gone.
Who's gone?
Beanwood. Oh, since he can't hear me, Snyder.
Beautiful!
I went up there with the rent and knocked. I've been knocking all afternoon. He didn't come back from fetching his pension.
Oh, he's just late, I'm sure of it. Mm.
He's never been late before.
Maybe he froze after all.
Wally, that's an evil thought.
He's an evil man.
Oh, he ain't all evil.
But he's bad, Ma.
He's doing what he thinks is the right thing, and I think is the wrong thing.
If he's lost, he ain't doing anything. I hope he stays lost.
I know what you mean, Wally, but we're obliged. We're the only ones who know he's lost. We might have to report him missing.
Let's eat and forget about him.
No. We'll look in his room for clues. If we don't find any, then we'll eat.
Oh, can't we eat first?
No. Come on. Up the side stairs.
He might have sneaked in when we were talking.
No. We've got so far, so...
What a horrible mess!
Oh, I hope he's not hiding under that junk on the bed.
I'll poke it with his broom. Anyone at home? No one. Doesn't feel like a body.
What is it?
That rug on the floor! It's covered with blood!
Muddy blurder. Phone the police. No, don't touch anything. They'll want to check for footprints. Drop that broom handle, Wally. They think you're accomplished. Downstairs, come on, quick. Hello? Oh, come on. Hello? Police, I want the police. I want to report a blurder. I mean a murder. That's right. That's right. A murder.
That was part one of London Snow by Paul Theroux. Adapted for radio by Terry James. Those taking part were Irene Handel, Mark Ellington, Bernadette Windsor, Hayden Jones, Kenneth Shanley and Tim Munro. The producer was Janet Whittaker. Today we have part two of London Snow.
Mutterance and her adopted children, Wallace and Amy, waited in the sweet shop for the police. At last, a constable arrived. He had a black beard, and his face was red, and it seemed he had pedalled some distance through the snow on a pushbike.
Mutterance and Co.
That's us.
Hoskins at Vicarage Crescent, Battersea, Corner Church Road, sweet shop. We'll report details shortly. Over.
It's upstairs, what I rang about.
Lead away, then, if you please. You youngsters, stay down here.
Oh, Wallace and Amy have already seen the tragedy. I don't keep secrets from them.
Well, we all searched the room.
Oh, very well. Show me.
It's this way.
We have to go up the side stairs.
I'll put the light on, if you'll excuse my prints on the switch. There must be footprints and fingerprints all over this place. You ever see such a mess in all your career? This is the scene of the crime, all right. No doubt about that.
We'll see. Where's the body?
There's no body.
No body?
No. Don't bother to look for a body here. We looked already and didn't find one. Wally even thumped the bed. Oh, if you find some fingerprints on that broom handle, I expect they'll be Wally's. But he's innocent of any crime or wrongdoing. He was in the snow at the time.
If there's no body, how do you know there's been a murder?
Evidence.
Oh, evidence, hey.
Show the officer what we found, Wally.
It's this rag by the bed with the blood on it.
No, stand back, Sonny, stand back. Let's throw some proper light on it.
You sure you know what you're doing, Constable? There might be fingerprints on that rag.
Yes, I thought so.
What have you dropped it for? What about all the blood?
Ketchup.
Tomato ketchup?
That's right, young lady.
Oh, typical. The filthy pig must have been eating his fish and chips in here. Thank goodness it's not blood. I was beginning to feel queer.
Well, I'll be off then.
Just a minute, Constable. I want to report a disappearance.
Oh, yes.
Got your notebook?
If I need it. A disappearance now, is it?
Certainly. The occupant of this room has vanished. He might be the victim of foul play.
When did you see him last?
Well, I heard him through our ceiling. Then he left the house today, and that was the last we knew. He never come back.
Do you know where he was going?
Oh, yes. To collect his pension, his army pension, from over in Chelsea.
Yeah, well, has it occurred to you that he might have missed his bus?
Has it occurred to you, Constable, that because of heavy snow, no buses are running in London? I'm surprised by your lack of conduction.
Can you give me his name?
His name's Snyder, Constable. Reginald Snyder.
Reginald? I never knew his name was Reginald.
Look, can we speed this up, eh? Physical characteristics.
Hey?
What does he look like?
A bear, a toothless bear.
He's taller than me, and he smells.
Well, he's rather elderly, but frankly, he's so bastable and harrowing, you'd never notice his age.
How was he dressed?
Like a tramp.
He has holes in his shoes, brown leather shoes. Also, his hat leaks.
What about his habits?
He's stingy and mean.
He kicked Kipper.
Kipper?
Our cat. He's kicking us out too. Right into the road, so he can turn the sweet shop into a laundryette.
Oh, I doubt that we can do anything about this. With respect, madam, I suggest you are wasting my time.
A man's life is at stake. He's lost in the snow.
How long did you say he'd been gone?
Since lunchtime. And it's tea time now.
Look, I'm a good-natured fellow, but this joke's gone too far. I'll file my report, of course. But let's hope this Snyder, wherever he is, will be able to look after himself. You shouldn't worry about him.
I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about us.
You haven't got a thing to worry about. You've got a nice warm room downstairs while I've got to bike it back out in the snow.
It's no use. We're completely debunked. We'll just have to find him ourselves. 5 o'clock. There's still time.
Let's do it tomorrow.
But then it might be too late.
That's what I was hoping.
I don't like your attitude, Wally. It's cruel.
He wanted to get rid of us, Ma. But now he's been got rid of. Don't you see? We'll be saved if he doesn't come back. We'll have the shop and the flat and everything will be all right.
We won't have to go after all.
If we don't look for him, he'll be lost. Do you want that harrowing thing on your conscience?
It's too cold for a search party.
How cold do you think he feels?
He deserves to suffer.
If he suffers, he's human. And if he's human, he's worth saving.
I don't want to do it. I agree with Wally.
We've got no choice, Amy. I think he went out and got lost. That's all. Come on, let's go and find him.
Separately, they searched for Snyder. Wallace and Amy went off to search together, and Mrs. Mutterance walked to Battersea Bridge. But before she got halfway across it, she noticed something odd. The river was no longer frozen. She could hear the whisper of the current, the crisp sound of the ice chunks chipping against each other and coursing past the Thames lighter, moored to its bobbing barrel in midstream. She walked as far as Chelsea, but the pension office was closed. There was nothing she could do but turn back. Wallace and Amy sauntered down the high street, calling into every dark alleyway.
Are you there, you old monster man?
Are you there, Mr. Giant?
On the way, they bought a Christmas candle and looked at toys in the shop windows. After the shops closed, they went home. When it was nearly bedtime, Mrs. Mutterance made cups of cocoa and they sat drinking them in the kitchen.
The river's unfreezing. The snow'll be gone soon.
At least we looked for him.
But we didn't want to find him. That's why we didn't. I think if we really try to sympathise with him, we'll know what become of him.
But, Ma...
We got to try and like him, even for a short time.
Why, Ma?
Because it's Christmas. If we don't find him, we'll lose Christmas.
If we do find him, we'll lose our shop.
Christmas is more important than our shop. And just think if you was out there, lost in the snow, with the wind blowing down your neck.
I wouldn't like that.
No. So tomorrow, we'll have a good look. We'll close up the shop.
On Christmas Eve?
The busiest day of the year. Everyone will want sweets tomorrow.
Then they'll have to buy them at another shop.
All because of Snyder. On the other hand, maybe we won't find him at all.
The next morning was dark. Fog had gathered in the small square, and the yellow street lamp still burned, giving their muted light to the wet snow and the white-grey fog. Mrs. Mutterance headed for Battersea Bridge once again. Amy walked towards St. Mary's Church, and Wallace lingered at the shop. The London snow had come a few days too soon. It should have come on Christmas Eve, while they slept, and showed itself magically on Christmas morning. But nothing was right this year. By noontime, the snow was all but gone.
Oh, I'll need to sit down. I'll walk miles.
Was the pension office open?
Yes, and they said Snyder collected his money, so at least he got that far yesterday.
So he crossed the river to Chelsea. We still don't have any idea where he is now. I had a good honest look, and all I found were these choppers in his room.
Foxy, they're horrid, especially his. I'm a feeling they're going to bite me. Please put them away, Wally.
Sorry, Amy.
There's no snow left. We don't have a hope of finding him now. We could have tracked him before, but now what can we do?
Don't cry, Ma.
He's lost, and we're lost. He'll come back and haunt us.
I tracked him. All the way to St. Mary's Churchyard. There were footprints in the snow.
But it's too late now. The footprints is all melted. They've washed into the gutter. Anyway, are you sure they was his footprints?
No, I wasn't sure. That's why I saved them.
Eh?
Save what?
The footprints.
You said they was in the snow.
They were.
But the snow's gone. It's uncoagulated.
The footprints aren't gone. I cut them out and shoveled them up. They're here in the fridge. I parcelled them in foil sieve and numbered them. I found this one on Church Road.
Did you have a good look?
Yeah.
It is! It is his! Oh. Look! It's got a biscuit in the middle of it. There's a hole print. He had holes in his shoes like this.
And this one I found in the churchyard.
The churchyard?
Oh, he wouldn't have been there, Amy. That's not the way you get to Chelsea. You go over the bridge to get to Chelsea.
This one I found near the churchyard fence, by the riverside.
That's his too. The hole says it all. What was he doing there?
I don't know. That's why I brought them back and kept them frozen.
Wallace, you're a strong, healthy boy. There's no denying that. And this little girl hasn't got the strength of a flea, but she's a genius.
I always knew it.
Oh, did you? Well, I'll tell you, if I had thought for 100 years, it wouldn't have occurred to me to freeze a footprint.
They would have melted otherwise.
Yes, well, you used your noodle, and now we can get going again. I want you to show me exactly where you found these.
A strong wind was blowing across the river, gusting in from the warehouses and factories on the Chelsea side and stirring the water into brief black fins. The Thames lighter swung on its mooring as the swift flood tide broke against its bow. The weather vane spun at the top of St. Mary's and the bare trees trembled in the churchyard.
Don't let be on, Polly.
It's all right for you. I'm the one carrying all the frozen footprints. Did I say frozen? They're melting fast.
That's where the next one goes. I shoved the twigs there to mark the spot. Oh, dear. The print's just fallen to bits.
Oh, never mind. He must have been going to church. Maybe he's inside. Well, he might have taken shelter from the snow.
No, I put my next twig past the church.
You sure it was here?
Right here.
Oh, bother, where was that man going?
I've got one footprint left and it's dripping down my sleeve.
It goes over here. That's my last twig by the hole in the fence.
This isn't the way to Chelsea. Now, honest truly, did you find the footprints here?
Honest truly. He said we should try to sympathise with Snyder and pretend we were lost. That's what I did. I would come here on a snowy day because there's a nice weather vane here on the church and this is the best view in London. Well, then I saw the footprints.
He came to the church. He must have been lonely. He was walking round in circles, poor old stick.
No, Ma. His feet were pointing in that direction, into the river.
This is the wrong way to Chelsea, all right.
But he got to Chelsea because he collected his pension money. The funny thing is, he didn't make it back. It doesn't seem possible. Just 2 days ago, this whole river was solid ice.
It was, though. We all saw it.
And it was on the radio news.
My angels.
Ma?
That's it. That's what he did. He walked across the ice. He collected his pension. He was in such a hurry to get there, he even left his teeth behind.
And he was in a hurry to get back.
To get the rent, so he could kick us out and start his laundryette. But he didn't make it.
Because by late afternoon, the river wasn't frozen anymore. It was just icebergs and slotch.
If it was half frozen, then he only got halfway. Maybe that's how he drowned.
There were no footprints facing home.
But suppose he got as far as that old lighter. It's moored about halfway.
He might be inside.
I can't see into it. The cabin's dark and it's going up and down. Who wants to swim and see?
You don't have to swim, Wally. There's a dinghy over there. Come on, you're a strong rower. Come on, Wally. We're almost there. Come on, Wally. 2 more pulls.
You two grab the oars. I'll tie us up to that rope.
That's a boy. Now then, if you get over the side first.
Doing my best. Okay, who's next?
Give us your hand. Oi, oi, steady. Now then, we'll both point Amy on board. Hey!
That's not me!
No sign of him, and it's spooky.
I want to go home.
We've got to look into the cabin first. Go on, Wally. What is it, Wally?
There's someone in there. But it sure don't look like Snyder.
Let me look.
Careful.
ask him his name.
What's the point? He looks dead.
I want to go home.
Oh. His shoe's got a hole in it. It's him.
Oh.
Mr. Snyder, are you all right?
No, no. Don't hurt me.
Of course we won't.
Oh, I've just had this terrible dream. Who are you?
It's Gertie Matterance. Oh. Wally took us for a row. Amy's with us too. I thought you was probably here.
Oh, I was trapped. I was crossing the ice and it started to crack. And I just made it to this lighter.
Here, this might fuck you up. I thought you might want it.
What's that?
Your rent money.
Rent? Oh, you keep it and help me up. Oh, I thought I was going to die here. I shouted, but no one heard. And then I was too weak.
Look at you. You're all dirty.
Yes, well, it's this filthy boat.
Oh, you'll be all right. You can chuck all them clothes in your new laundrette and get them all nice and clean.
Oh, Ma.
No, you saved me. So there's not going to be a laundrette. Or a washeteria or anything. The shop's yours.
If we don't get to shore now, we're going to have to spend Christmas here.
When is Christmas?
Tomorrow. Can we go, Ma? I'm cold.
Oh, I lost all track of time. I thought I'd miss Christmas.
No, you didn't miss it. You can spend it with us if you like.
Oh.
There won't be much turkey, just bread and scrape, but there'll be plenty of sweets.
Ooh. Now, that reminds me. My teeth. I forgot my teeth.
I've got them here.
Oh, what a thoughtful boy.
You're not like Mr. Snyder at all.
Well, I'm alive, and it's wonderful to be alive.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Snyder.
And to you, madam.
Don't have to kiss us too. Just get yourself out and into the dinghy.
Well, you lead the way. I'm saved.
We're all saved.
On the way back to shore, Wallace paused in his rowing. Amy had pointed, and as the dinghy turned in the current, they looked up. The lights from Battersea were close but clouded, and the steeple of St. Mary's was nowhere to be seen. The river was gentler. The wind had dropped, and it had begun again to snow.